Hi, folks. How y'all doing? That was awesome.
Awesome.
Thanks for sticking around, because I'm going to posit that Jim Lanzone is the Djokovic of search engines. Because he is the, has been the CEO of more of them than anyone else. So list a few.
Oh, well, I mean, my start was at, I had to start up in the 90s. So age is just a number, we just heard. But Ask Jeeves was my first turnaround. And we acquired a number of them during that process, you know, all the way through to, I mean, at CBS, we actually owned search.com.
Damn.
Which, by the way, not that many people use search. But all the way through now to Yahoo.
Yahoo, AOL, and then Yep. You guys, you still own Excite?
No, that was Ask way back in the day. IAC currently owns Excite somewhere in the IAC universe.
Right, which you ran Ask, so there's a long list. And it's funny, because I bet, you know, half the crowd doesn't know that there used to be search engine wars, and... Part of the crowd, I saw Bill Gross in the audience, and he's the inventor of the whole thing. Yeah. But let's not go back
Definitely
that far.
The inventor of the ad model.
Yeah.
For sure.
Let's just go back a couple years. You ran Ask, you ran CBS, you ran Tinder, and in 2021, Apollo, the giant private equity firm, buys Yahoo out of Verizon, basically kind of picking up the pieces of a failed, content meets connectivity play. And they come to you saying, will you run it? What was your thesis? What interested you in that job? What do you want to do?
I ran towards that at 100 miles an hour. I mean, I've known almost every executive team at Yahoo over the years, competed against them, always valued the asset. Had always said, you know, I've been a part of a number of turnarounds, and had always thought like Yahoo had great bones for a turnaround, huge traffic, you know, a team that needed to be rebuilt, products that had probably seen better days, a brand that had kind of been through the ringer. Like, I can work with that, you know. And if you're Apollo in 2021, you know, it's still hundreds of millions of users a month, with billions of revenue, a ton of profit. You know, those things don't grow on trees, right? The number of those invented every three or four.
Tell us about the scale a little more.
So Yahoo is still a top five internet company. In the U.S., I think Yahoo's probably been top five every month for 29 straight years. I can't prove that. I haven't gone through the old media metrics numbers. But if you think back to where it started and the fact that we are still today, every month since I've gotten there, we've still been that big. So, so that scale is still massive. It's a little bit different than the Yahoo of, let's say, the early 2000s, when it was a portal, right? Now what Yahoo is a portfolio of leading brands under the Yahoo name that, by the way, got put back onto it with the spin out. So under Verizon, it was called Verizon Media. And for them, and it was similar to AT&T with Time Warner, you know, they had acquired first AOL, which is part of us, and then Yahoo. And you're right, that was like a media strategy that they had. When Hans became CEO, they started to move away from that strategy, just like AT&T did. And that was the opportunity for Apollo and for myself to pick it up. But today it's, you know, look, we're still number one in news. We're number one in finance, number two in sports, number two in email after Gmail. We're still number three in search. Again, we get that traffic. It's different than people going directly to Google. It's because they're already within Yahoo, but the scale of that is so huge. I mean, even small categories like beauty and fashion, we're still number one in total traffic. So so there's a lot to do, but that's an amazing starting point.
So that said, in the history of the internet, no one's turned a brand around. So when you look at those components, what's your approach?
Well, to me, maybe that's how we picked the name of this the segment, but for me, it always has to start with product. My background is having been a founder twice and always come at them. I'm a product person. And as the products go, the brand goes. And, you know, again, I think one thing is Yahoo has earned the trust. You can't fail backwards into being number one or number two in these categories for that long, for decades, right? Clearly people prefer the products, they are loyal to the products, we've earned their trust over a number of years, and yet at the same time, I think everybody in this room would agree that those products have had, you know, a lot of room for improvement over the years. So, and I think there's levels, I always say to my team, we can't skip levels of the video game and just be brats about it and want to get to level 10 and be inventing ChatGPT. Like, you have to start with what you've inherited. And so we have to go back to start building the basics. So the first step in a turnaround is to do that and lock that down and make our products awesome as a starting point. That includes all the table stakes, the functionality of the UI, of everything. And to do that, the first step is to hire a great team, some of whom are in the audience here today. But, you know, so that's what I've done. This is probably the third turnaround I've done. And the first step is always to go out and recruit, you know, your dream team, your all-star team. And so getting Ryan Spoon to come in to run Yahoo Sports, Tapan Bhatt, who was the CEO. So Ryan used to, you know, to be the head of product for ESPN. He ran BetMGM, and he's well-known in that industry, and he's a great product guy. Tapan was the COO of NerdWallet. Before that, he was actually back in the day at Yahoo. He was Jeff Wiener's number two for many years at Yahoo. And so down the line, Kat Downs, who's the GM, she was the head of product for Washington Post for nearly online for nearly 10 years. We've just brought an entirely new team, and our first order of business is to go in and make these products respectable, you know, best in class in their category. And to me, you know, that's still the period that we're in. It's like, we've hired these people, we got to give them room to let them cook.
So when you talk about product, you know, a little, so we met, we both worked for IAC and for Barry Diller a long time ago, and Jim was running Ask, and Jim was making an argument about product, because he is about product, and someone else was making an argument about marketing. And it really, to gain share, was just all about marketing. The marketing argument won the argument, but then, as we can see from history, wasn't the right solution. When you say your product, tell us more about that. You know, what's
it's hard,
your favorite product
it's
that you built when
maybe
you're talking
just,
to these
where
executives?
You and I met, but we're talking about ancient history here. But it is interesting. We were the turnaround team for Ask after the Web 1.0 crash. And we had a Camelot period where we, I think it was 50x the stock. We were the only people to gain market share other than Google. And I think in the last 20 plus years, we got to the point where our product improvements, we were the company that helped invent what everybody here now knows as OneBox, you know, at the top of Google search results, and really going beyond 10 blue links was our thing. Now, this was years before you were going to do that with AI. But it got to the point where, you know, in the industry, people called us the Apple of search, and this is with the Ask Jeeves brand, which was probably never going to be completely rehabbed from what it had been. But we were growing, and it's in search, it's almost linear in how you do that with better, you know, more relevant results, these great features, and we were very innovative. You can then market that, but you have to earn the right to even do that at a certain point in time, especially with that brand. I think we have a very different situation with Yahoo, where there's a lot of latent love for this brand, and the fact that it was the original, and, you know, people, I think, think back to a time when the internet was simpler and before it kind of went off the rails and all the different things that have kind of polluted the internet. You know, Yahoo stood for that original dream of what it could have been. We have to meet that opportunity with great product, period. Again, not it's enough for us to do that in mail, in sports, in finance. You know, in these categories, in news, we have the ability to focus in those categories and do a great job. Yeah. That is where our growth will come from. And if you get to that, you can then get back out and start talking about yourself, I think, more.
You own a number of niche brands in digital media. You know, this is kind of, is media being overcome by tech? You guys are tech and media. How do you think about, you know, you own TechCrunch, Autoblog, Engadget, although you just had some layoffs there. How do you think about these niche media brands, particularly with regard to news and how consumers are getting their news today?
Well, what I'll say is, if you go back to the original, one of the things that inspires our new team was, you know, you sit down, you kind of go back to how we got here. And if you go back to the original reason why Yahoo was created, it was Jerry and David's Guide to the World Wide Web. Now, at that point, obviously, that was Netscape had just been invented, and it was helping people find websites. Reimagining what that could be in the future is really helping people accomplish their goals online. And what that's going to be for the next 25 years is going to be very different than it's been for the last 25 years. But as we think about how we build these products, once you get through improving the basics, it really is going to be about connecting people to their goals as seamlessly as possible. And with AI and the tools that we're going to be able to implement, we'll be able to do that without people having to hunt and peck. Like, that's the dream for us. So that could be as simple as news, and it could be as simple as you trying to accomplish tasks in your daily life through email. It could be playing fantasy sports. It could be making money through stocks. I think of these smaller brands as the same thing. So where, you know, TechCrunch needs to head, it's the original and covering startup news and VC news, and that fits into what we do overall with covering finance news and other parts of business. In Gadget, you know, we used to run CNET at CBS Interactive. Again, one of the originals there. The changes that we've been making, and again, when you inherit a company that's been around a while, there's a lot of maneuvering that you have to do with the team and the structure. So that's the lens I'd inherit. I mean, I would look at the changes we've made to the orgs there. But that's how I view the niche brands. How that affects the rest of media, I mean, I feel like in a lot of ways we're already on the other side
right,
of that,
right.
You know, and Yahoo had a big part about in that.
When you talk about AI in that regard, I mean, a lot of, you know, certainly the media commentary, and I think a fair amount of consumers think about AI and content, and they look at what happened with Sports Illustrated and just totally, clumsily approaching this. Tell us more about AI as it relates to the products that you build.
I mean, I think it's, We were right on this. So last year, pretty early, we actually worked with a few AI companies to implement AI inside of email to help you write it, to help you search, to help you edit. That's a great example of something that's going to be done in news. Obviously, it's going to help filter not only for your needs if you do it right. We also bought a company last year called The Factual that helps understand, again, the factual accuracy of a story, how far it leans left and right. I do think it enables us to do more of the thinking for you to save you time. Ryan has that happening in fantasy sports, setting your lineup, you know, things like that. We'll obviously be giving you advice on managing your finances and your investments through AI. I look at it through the lens, we're not going to be a company at this point that's building our own large language models. We're going to be a company taking AI to implement it. What you mean with the Sports Illustrated example, I think is more that they were using it to just completely write articles. But we are more of an aggregator to start with anyway. We use first party content that we create as really more like anchors for context around it. You know, we're not the ones who are we're not competing with the Associated Press, you know, with what we're doing. And we certainly have no need to write articles using AI.
Yeah. So you mentioned Factual, the company that you recently bought, which is a lovely segue for me as an investment banker to ask you about M&A. You've bought a bunch of companies. What do you look at in the companies that you're buying? What problems do you try to solve in the companies that you're buying? And what kind of companies? I'm guessing there are a fair amount of entrepreneurs in there who are thinking about exits down the road.
Yeah.
Are you looking at?
Apollo's been great in letting us be pretty active in looking at companies. Everything we've done so far has been on the smaller end, I think 30 millions, and that was in stock for Common Stock, which is a community platform for Yahoo Finance, is the biggest we've done so far. But we've actually been in the game for much larger deals that we just didn't, we weren't the highest bid for. So I would look at it two ways for us. One is categorically, what are other categories that are adjacent to what we do today, where Yahoo's the trusted guide in these categories? What are other ones that we could also participate in, or that we already do, but just that we could be much larger in? That's where we've been looking so far. The other is what can accelerate our product roadmaps. So you won't really see us doing acqui-hires. Like, we're not in the position, or don't really believe in doing that just to bring on talent. But bring on products that could accelerate our roadmap by a year or more. We're very interested in that. And we've done a couple of those. We have more, I think, that we will be announcing shortly. I think those are the two main buckets for us. But I think, you know, again, at our scale, we, you know, once we have this business going the right direction, which was step one, us being aggressive in the M&A front is certainly what we plan to do.
And then presumably, considering you have private equity ownership, step three is going to the public market. You're in an advertising supported business. While you don't publicly release revenue numbers, Google's at 300 billion, Meta's at 140 billion or something. You're presumably much smaller. How do you think about how important is scale, and you know, when you are ready to be a public company, what are the ingredients that are cooking to make that happen?
Well, the unit economics of our business are pretty clear, right? It's you have to have a healthy growing user base that's deeply engaged. If you do that, you earn the right to monetize not only through ads, but through subscriptions, through commerce, through lead gen, for us through search. You know, there's a lot of different ways you do that. It all starts on consumer internet, which is all I've ever worked on, has started on the user side and user growth. For us, I run a portfolio model, so there's not one Yahoo. We are called Yahoo, but there's many different things that are under that umbrella now. And so I don't think we need to think too far ahead about what the exit strategy is. We kind of just got here and are focused on how do we get everything moving here the way that we believe in. And then I think good things will happen, and we're not writing that next chapter yet. I will say, I don't think it's healthy for us to worry about these trillion-dollar companies and what they're doing, right? We were bought for $5 billion. We are still top five. We're hundreds of millions of users a month. We have a footprint that's, you know, very unusually big. And at the same time, when you see cookies are going to be going away, and you know, most of our ad impressions, over 70% are from logged in users. We have a huge amount of first party data. Like, we're going to thrive in that environment. I should point out, we also run a big ad tech company with the Yahoo DSP. We moved away from our SSP and native businesses to focus wholly on our DSP business. And that thing is doing great. So we have a lot of different optionality here. And when you run a portfolio model, you wind up kind of ham and egging it through with the different businesses that you run. But you know, that's how we think about it. And I think we will succeed if we can just focus on what we inherited and doing a great job with that and not worrying anymore about what Yahoo's not.
Right.
That's just not right. Our game.
One thing Yahoo used to be that I personally loved was the my Yahoo and the RSS feed. I was telling you about it before, but all of my portfolio and the news that I follow and my plugins to other apps. That was a good product. I like that.
It was a good product. Yeah.
All right, let's take a step back a little bit. You're one of the executives that I admire, and you've had such a range of experiences. You've run a startup, venture-backed startup. You know, we worked together for Barry Diller. You worked for Les Moonves at a giant, you know, traditional media company. Now you're working for private equity. Who is your best boss? What do you take from that as you are thinking about being the best CEO you can be?
Well, I'd say for me, it's kind of interesting. I've always worked for people who are really involved and hard on you as part of being managed. So I've just developed thick skin. I did my first startup without any business experience when I was 26, and have always run these things, either for venture capitalists who are all over you. I mean, working for people like Bill Gurley and Jeff Yang is not easy, even at my startup that was sold to CBS, and I like that. I kind of thrive on that. I think if you are a native product person, which I've always been, then there's nothing, you know, you don't, I'm pretty, I have pretty thick skin. I don't mind 6 phone calls a day to brainstorm and to talk it through. So I was kind of ready made for private equity probably when it comes to that, you know, and that didn't really focus into my, or kind of into my calculus on it. I mean, I definitely did my research on them. But to me, it was, what an unbelievable opportunity that somebody could get a hold of this asset at that price. Yeah. Like, we can do something with that. The media world was no different, you know, whether it was CBS, and that's the Showtime building right here around the corner on the lot here. I worked there for 9 years. You know, Tom's in the audience from Paramount, running it now. Definitely not for everybody, but I kind of loved it. Yeah.
So companies are waking up to this, that you still cook along with this massive audience and you're reinvigorating it. You know, what kinds of opportunities within content do you like the best? Are, you know, what do you think of the podcast business? Would you do something like that? What about sports rights? What about live streaming? What about the, you know, putting a show up together in the lot? How do you weigh those different things?
Going back to user needs. So for us, our unique value to the ecosystem is starting with superior aggregation, and we will layer in content of our own when we can really add value. So one thing that Ryan did in sports when he first got here was sign up Kendall Baker, who runs, I think, easily the best email newsletter in all of sports. He came over from Axios. So there, you know, I think of podcasts the same way. We have some successful podcasts. I think of TechCrunch the same way. You know, I spent almost a decade in video and entertainment, and we'll still always kind of have an eye towards that about what that would mean for us. But Yahoo is much closer to being a utility than being entertainment. Like, that's not our game. And it, same thing at Tinder when I was there. It was only a year, but some of the thought was on making it more entertaining itself, but the actual goal you're trying to do is helping somebody meet their partner. And so you could be entertaining on the way to that, but that wasn't the end goal. So I do think of it like that. We definitely are approached all the time for sports rights. When I first got there, we actually turned some of those off because the deals that were done were underwater or done by Verizon or other companies for very different reasons. So we had to right-size that. But we do all kinds of things. We just launched, it's the Yahoo Sportsbook at the Venetian and Palazzo in Vegas. So there are a lot of places that we're playing, and we're kind of talking to everybody.
So what do I get if my Pirates win the World Series?
The Pirates aren't going to win the World Series.
Yeah, that's true. All right, let's close on one final question. You run this massive multi-billion dollar company, but let's geek out on one last thing. What's the favorite product you've ever built?
That I've ever built?
Yeah.
I mean, probably has to be CBS All Access, which is now Paramount Plus that Tom runs. I mean, that was easily the most impactful so far. I am, in a lot of ways, the most proud of what we did at Ask. Like, to have Walt Mossberg, you know, write an article that saying that it's all the ways it's better than Google. If you could be the me of 2007 or 2006, like, it was, I'm like, oh, this is it. We did it. Yeah. It's over. That was definitely a peak moment. Yeah, I always come back to when you spend a lot of time building products, and it takes months, it takes years sometimes. The bummer is when you do that and somebody launches that product like the week before you. And I remember we announced CBS All Access and HBO announced something the day before, but they hadn't launched it yet.
Yeah.
And like, did you do this in reaction to HBO? I'm like, we didn't build this product in 24 hours. It took like a year. Yeah. That process is always the highlight for me.
Well, keep on building. Thank you very much. Thanks, everyone.
All right. Thanks, guys.